Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaggetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
I say to you that listen, love your enemies. I say to you that listen, of course I'm listening. I'm here, aren't I? The trouble is, I really often don't listen. For many, Jesus is saying the unhearable. I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Jesus, are you kidding? Ours is an age of rage. In politics, we become warring tribes. In society, we become Puritans who confront but can't forgive. In the church, we've been deaf to the cry of the abused. Jesus, how unrealistic. So I decide not to really listen. He can't mean that I forgive that slime ball. I'd rather get even, get back. Doesn't justice demand pain? But Jesus is insistent. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. So I choose not to listen. Of course, I can ignore his words by saying, well, I really don't have any real enemies. But that misreads the text. The word enemy isn't just those who hate or hurt or oppose me. In first century Judaism, the enemy was any non-Israelite. It is anyone who was not one of us. Us versus them. The enemy is the one I draw out of the circle of my care and concern. That's what the word means. In our day, it may be the refugee or the white supremacist, the Trump supporter or the Trump critic, the abuser or the abused crying in pain, the negligent hierarchy or the righteous right. The enemy that Jesus wants you to love is whoever you push away. For him, love is not a fuzzy feeling, but an insistent pilgrimage into others' lives, into the likeness of God himself who is love. Rightly, Jesus says, I say to you that listen, because I just don't want to be bothered. I ignore Jesus' words because he is so unrealistic. If I look with society's eyes, rather than embrace God's restorative justice, forgiveness is not a free pass. It rejects getting back and it acts for the good of the other. When it's truly good to do, it seeks amendment and embraces a new way of living. Anger is easy. Reconciling and rebuilding is not. I want to suggest to you Jesus makes three demands. Conversion, conversation, response. It's a conversion. That means changing my way of thinking. Literally, it means change your thinking. And to embrace Jesus' way of looking at others. It becomes speech that seeks to converse, to engage, and to encourage. Lastly, it becomes action. It commits to do the good to those who hate you. It's the painstaking work of confronting, restoring, and freeing. This is all hard work. It's not content to rest in criticism. And no cheap grace is offered here. G.K. Chesterton said it succinctly, Christianity never failed. It has never been tried. And I think sometimes it's even by the priests and bishops themselves. We are a pilgrimage of broken people. That is our glory, a forgiven people. God's trademark is grace. The word means favor, mercy, gift. What grace do I offer? What mercy do you give? When you are baptized, you are grafted unto Christ. You are more brothers and sisters than blood can make. You are one in the body and the blood of Jesus himself. You are the body of Christ. And you have one common mission with Jesus, to redeem this whole world. If we don't choose to see others as God sees them, we really don't know God. What we think about others, do to others, we are really doing to ourselves. No wonder Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. The real persuasive force of Christianity is only as good as the brightness of their lives. It begins in this gospel. It mesmerized the Roman world, loving those enemies, doing good, lending, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You know, anger and resentment are such a burden. Rancor and harsh judgments make us unlike God. Why carry the weight of it all? Jesus challenged us to hear and see the enemy from the heart of the Father. This is the only place to remain safe and secure in God's love. And so Jesus says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. In a phrase, just be like God. But compassion has to become action. It can't stop with merely not being harsh. The meeting in Rome that finished today about clerical child abuse and episcopal cover-up, the Holy Father and the heads of the bishops of the Catholic conferences from around the world, is finished. We probably won't see real results until June. That's okay, it takes time. As a priest, this whole issue is torture. How could priests do it? How could bishops not listen to their pain? In January, I was at the Dominican Provincial Chapter. We met with Lance, who was abused 40 years ago. We heard his anguish, saw the tears of his pain. I want to flog the Dominican who did it. But Lance pointed to something else. The resilience of the human heart and the healing in compassion that becomes action. He's committed himself to child advocacy, not just for those abused by clergy or ministers or rabbis, but by the horde of youth abused, one every 8 minutes. The church must follow Lance's lead, but first it must repent and get our house in order. Growth only comes from facing publicly the sin. Growth begins when you all, as Catholic Christians, take ownership of the church. I hope some of you saw the talks that were simulcasted and are still available online under Vatican News. Boy, that never happened before. Step behind the theological ease of some of the language, and I was totally surprised and blown away by what was said. Good stuff. Honest stuff. Hard stuff. Great stuff. So I want to say a word of thanks to those members of the community here who met after the December masses to discuss the issue. Thanks to the composing committee who called a call to action that was sent to the American cardinals, most of them in attendance at the meeting, and to others. This letter, if you want to see it, is available in the back of the church or right under this angel after Mass with one of the sample letters, cover letters. I was gratified that our bishop, Patrick McGraw, let me know that he had taken up the points with Cardinal DiNardo, the president of our Conference of Catholic Bishops. You know, it's easy to be angry, but not do something. It will be years before the church has the credibility to be a source of healing for the larger wounds of child abuse and sexual assault. But you can do it now. Be a safe place for others to share their wounds and find support. Be advocates for healing. Don't be caught up in anger and disillusion. Make it action. Isn't that what Jesus said at the beginning in today's gospel? He called us to be like Him, to be that forgiving love, that healing love that lifts other people up. The future is as bright as the light of God we let into our hearts and live out in our actions. Do actions that heal.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glauber, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at web.stanfordcatholic.org or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.